But you know one thing about that statement, we can say that about every day of the week, because we know that our God reigns each day, and His care for us is extended every day. But there's something special about the first day of the week. On this day, He made His Son to rise from the dead. And we look back on that day almost 2,000 years ago, thankful for what He has done for us. And there's no place I'd rather be. And I think when you really understand that, there's no place you'd rather be than here with others who share that same love and thankfulness for what God has done and what God has promised. Most of our thoughts this morning are going to come from John chapter 10. John chapter 10, where Jesus preaches a sermon about Himself as the good and true shepherd. And sometimes I think we miss that all of the things that happened in John chapter 9 springboard into this sermon. And this sermon, it seems to me, is a direct result from all of these events. What Clyde read for us earlier in John chapter 9, verses 35 through 41, was, as he said, Jesus finding this man whom he had restored sight to after the Pharisees had drilled him and basically kicked him out. And so in verse 35, the Bible says basically like a shepherd, Jesus seeks out this man. He finds him that was formerly blind, and His purpose is evident in the things that He says to him to lead him to faith in Him. In verses 36 through 38, He even asks him the question, "Who do you believe in the Son of Man?" And so Jesus is there like a shepherd after He's found him to provide him with the very things that he needs. Jesus teaches him that He is the door to God. He is the path to God, the spiritual pasture. And in verses 39 to 41, Jesus explains what type of person can come to God through Him. Essentially, what type of person can be the good shepherd sheep. And all of these thoughts are brought up again in His sermon in John chapter 10 concerning the good shepherd. And so that's what I want to look at this morning. And I'm just going to glance at various sections of this sermon instead of just going through it verse by verse. And so we can pull out some of the main ideas that Jesus is trying to teach here. And one of the primary things I believe Jesus is trying to teach in John chapter 10 is that there are imposter shepherds. And that's exactly what was going on with this man in John chapter 9. There were others that were trying to convince him. You remember they were talking, well, we know this man is a sinner. Give glory to God and tell us that he's a sinner. And he's saying, you know, I don't know what you're trying to brainwash with me. I've told you all that I know. Whether he's a sinner, I don't know. But one thing I do know is I was blind and now I see. And there's something in that. But it's like these Pharisees were trying to brainwash him into just believing and agreeing with what they believed. These imposter shepherds are people who want you and me to follow them, but do so in the name of God. And there's always been people like this. Jeremiah 23 talks about him. Ezekiel 34, God condemns the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. And he said that the only thing they were leading them to is to try to bring them praise and bring them glory, rather than to bring God glory and to do God's will. In essence, these imposter shepherds want to make you blind. While Jesus taught just a few chapters earlier in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, that He wants to make us be able to see. He wants to set us free from our blindness. John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, "If you continue in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." You see, imposter shepherds, these people that are trying to lead us for their own glory, they're not trying to set us free. They're trying to imprison us by their own teachings and by their own values. But while God's teachings, Jesus' teachings, they set us free. They help us to recognize reality, while other people want to enslave us to sin and enslave us to the principles and values of this world. And so there are imposter shepherds. Look in verses 1 through 3 of John chapter 10. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." And what you're going to notice in this sermon is that when Jesus talks about the door, Jesus is talking about the way to God and the way from God. And so if someone has come through the door, they have come from God. And he's talking about people going back through the door on the way to God. And so the door represents the way to God. And he says, if someone doesn't go by the door, then they're a thief, they're a robber, they're an imposter shepherd. They're not sent from God. That's what his point is. And so in verses 2 and 3, Jesus basically tells us when God sends a shepherd, it is clear where he is from and that God has opened the door for him. Was it clear where Jesus was from? Did the way that he lived, the things that he taught, was it clear that he was from God? Well, even some of those that were against Jesus seemed to think that that was the case, because we go back to John chapter 3 when Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he didn't want to make it clearly known that he believed in Jesus because he came at night. But he comes to Jesus in John chapter 3, and what does he say? He says, "Teacher, we know you are from God because no one can do the things that you do except he be from God." And so it was clear that Jesus has come through the door. Jesus has come from God to lead God's people. But when we look at the life of Jesus and the things that the way that he had to live and the sacrifices he had to make to be the shepherd sent from God, it's easy to see why in verse 1 these imposter shepherds want to come up some other way. They're not willing to make the sacrifices to be the true shepherd. They're not willing to make the sacrifices it takes to be one of God's people themselves and also to lead other people to God. Jesus, if you'll notice in his teaching, he focuses on God. If you want to be the children of God, if you want to show God your love, you'll do his will, you'll keep his commandments. He focuses on what it means for us to glorify God and to be pleasing to God. But when you listen to the teachings of the Pharisees and you listen to the teachings of imposter shepherds today who say they're coming in the name of God and they're trying to teach us the way to God, but if you look at the things that they teach, their focus is not on God. Sometimes the imposter shepherds will focus on the people, trying to teach something that necessarily appeals to them. And so that way they can get a big following and maybe produce money for themselves or something like that. Sometimes imposter shepherds come at you from the standpoint of maybe patriotism. Well, you know, for the Pharisees, if you want to be a good Jew, you need to follow the traditions of the elders. And you need to set those higher than any other teaching in the world. And so they kind of got people in this niche. Well, if you want to be part of the cool group, this is what you've got to do. You've got to do what we say and what everybody else has been doing. But Jesus always focuses on God and trying to get people to God. And the things that he did it ever seek glory for himself? Well, we glorify Jesus now, understanding what he has done. But the life that he led, he didn't do anything for himself. It was all to get the sheep. It was all to get people to God, while these other people were more about glorifying themselves. And so there are imposter shepherds. And he says in verse 4 of John chapter 10, "When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." The true shepherd, he says, will go ahead of the sheep. He leads by example. And I think that's one thing to tell a teacher that's really interested in getting you to know God and getting you to God, and one that's interested in glorifying themselves and carrying out their own agenda, is that they lead by example. They're not afraid of getting their hands dirty, as we sometimes say, not doing the dirty work, but getting down and doing the work that we were meant to do. And this is what Jesus did. Who got in the dirt? Who got his hands dirty and did the work more than Jesus himself? Wasn't that the whole point of his lesson in John chapter 13? They're all sitting there, and even right before Jesus is going to be crucified, they're eating that last Passover. And what we find out, looking at the parallel passages, the disciples are there arguing, who among us is the greatest? And so, rather than Jesus stand up and say, why are you arguing about this? Obviously, I'm the greatest. I'm the Son of God. What Jesus does is he did the work. He led by example of how what it means to be great in God's eyes. And he took off that outer robe. He put the towel around him. He got on the dirty floor and he washed their dirty feet. And so what Jesus says in John chapter 10 and verse 4 is that the true shepherd. Now Jesus is the true shepherd, but we can also translate that into those teachers today, preachers today, those wishing to teach others the way to God. The ones who are from God are the ones who lead by example. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2 that Jesus led by example. He suffered and he did not utter threats. He was reviled against and he did not revile in return. And so on and so on. He gave himself up for death for the benefit of his sheep. And we'll talk more about that in just a second. Look in verses 10 through 18 of John chapter 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from the Father. There are imposter shepherds and there is a true shepherd. The true shepherd does all for the benefit of the sheep. Look in verse 10. The true shepherd, or the thief, the imposter shepherd, he comes to steal and kill. He comes for his own benefit. He comes to glorify himself. He comes to gain things for himself. But what does the true shepherd do? Verse 11, the true shepherd will do anything for the benefit of the sheep. Why? In verses 12 and 13, he said, because the true shepherd is the owner of the sheep. Now maybe some of us who are removed from this atmosphere of shepherd and sheep, we need to paint the picture a little bit. And so, I want you to think of yourself as a shepherd for a moment that has sheep. And so you maybe buy a couple of sheep to start out with, and you start to breed them. And the mother sheep has baby lambs, and you nurse them and you nourish them from the time that they were born. And so you have cared for them from the time that you were born. And not only have you cared for them, not only are they special in that way, but this is your life's work. This is how you are going to provide for yourself and for your family. And so you have this great concern for the sheep. And you see them there, you care for them day and night, you provide for their needs, you give them everything. And you're sitting out in the field and you're watching them. And all of a sudden on the horizon, you see this pack of wolves standing there. And you know exactly what those wolves are thinking. Here's tonight's meal. Now, if you were just a worker and I said to you, here, watch my sheep for the day. I've got to do something in town. I've got to buy something I need. You may see those wolves coming and say, hey, this isn't part of the job description. And so you get out of there. But he said, if it's the owner of the sheep, he's going to stand there and he's going to do whatever he can to protect those sheep. And for the benefit of the sheep and for the benefit of himself and for his family. And so the true shepherd will stand there to protect the sheep. Of course, we have a perfect example of this in King David. When he was still a shepherd boy, a lion came against his flock and a bear came against his flock. And he was not about to walk away from those that had become so important to him. And so the true shepherd does all for the benefit of the sheep. In verses 14 through 18, he said the sheep are so important to the shepherd, he willingly sacrifices himself on behalf of the sheep. He said, I lay down my life on my own initiative. I want you to think about that. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, I lay down my life and nobody's taking it from me. I'm doing it because I want to for you. Now, which one of those do you want to follow? The imposter or the true shepherd who's willing to lay down his life for you? And so you can tell the true shepherd by the sacrifices that he's willing to make. So I think we would all want to be a part of the true shepherd's fold. And so the question we need to ask now is, which sheep are from Jesus' fold? How do we become a part of His fold? How do we know what type of sheep are from Jesus' fold? Well, in verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And so the door kind of plays a double picture in this sermon. Jesus not only came through the door to get to them, He came from God, but Jesus is saying, I am also the door to God. If you want to get back to God, you've got to do it through me. And so we need to understand that. That is similar to what He said in John 14 in verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus is the door. And we have to understand that, and we need to look in the New Testament to find out how do we get in Jesus. How do we go through Jesus to get back to God? And that's a whole other study within itself. But we have to go through Jesus. But also Jesus' sheep are sheep that are always listening. Look in verse 3 of John chapter 10. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Sheep that are always listening. And that means they're always seeking the truth. You remember how this began with the episode with the blind man? In chapter 9 and verse 41, Jesus said, I come for those who are blind. That's the type of person that Jesus wants. Someone who recognizes, I am blind. When I try to do it my own way, I end up in a mess. I can't see straight to do things on my own. And so what I need is I need a shepherd. I need someone to lead me through my life, to help me make decisions so that I can do things the right way. That's the kind of person that the true shepherd is looking for. And you know, many people have often said that when you are blind, your sense of hearing is often heightened. If you're a blind person, you're looking, you're listening for things so that you don't walk out in the middle of the street and get run over by a car, so that you can listen for important things going around you because you can't see those. So your sense of hearing is heightened. And if you recognize that you are spiritually blind, that you can't lead your own way, that if you look back on your life and I keep getting myself in a mess and I often don't know what to do, if you recognize that, then you're going to be listening for someone that can help you find the way to go. And so you're always seeking the truth. But unfortunately, not all people are looking for that. Not all people are listening for the truth. Look at verse 19. A division occurred again among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon-possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? And so these people are, you know, just like the blind man had already told them. Do you know of anybody else that's able to open the eyes of the blind? You're sitting here wanting to condemn this man. And you're looking for any excuse. You're trying to brainwash me to condemn this man you don't have any reason for that. You're just not willing to see what's in front of your face, that this man must be from God. And some people just aren't looking for that. And even if they're saying they're looking for God, even if they're saying they want to be God's people, they're not really listening for what God wants to tell them. They're listening for what they want to hear. And so they'll believe it if an imposter shepherd tells them. And so Jesus' sheep are those that are always listening. They're listening for Jesus' voice. They're not people that have a favorite preacher, a favorite shepherd, you might say. And so they're willing to listen to anything that preacher says, or that preacher writes, or this elder says. That's not what that means. These are people that are listening for Jesus. And so if I have something to say that comes from Jesus, that's what you're looking for. But if I have something to say that doesn't come from Jesus, you're ready to throw it out the door because you're listening for Jesus. I'm just as blind as you are. And so the true shepherd is looking for sheep that are listening for Him and ready to follow His voice. Verse 4, when He puts forth all His own, He goes ahead of them and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. They follow Him because they know His voice. And they're not willing to listen to any other voice in verse 5. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Does it make sense, some of the excuses we give sometimes for the things that we believe and the things that we do? Well, that's what my daddy taught me. Well, that's what brother so-and-so taught me. Well, that's what, you know, it has to be this way. Jesus said, my sheep won't follow anything else except for my voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow because they are so focused on listening for me, on listening to what I have to say, not what some man who's just as blind as they are has to say. Sheep follow His voice and flee from all others. In verse 16, there's another important thing about His sheep. He says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. The sheep from Jesus' fold don't all look like me. I know you are all thankful for that. They don't all sound like me. They don't all have a personality like me. They may not dress like me. They may come from a far off country, different background, different values they were raised in. Those things don't matter. Doesn't matter what color a person's skin is. It doesn't matter what kind of accent they have. It doesn't matter what kind of clothes they wear. What matters is that they're listening. They're listening for the shepherd. And if you have a chance to bring them to the shepherd, none of those things should come in your way from teaching them, from bringing them to the true and good shepherd. His sheep aren't all from the same fold. And that was a hard thing for some of the Jews to understand. In verses 24 through 27, we learn something else about the sheep that will follow the true shepherd. The Jews then gathered around Him and were saying to Him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so what Jesus says is that what it all comes down to, the sheep are in or out of His fold because of their heart. And isn't that what the parable of the sower was all about? If my heart is good soil, if my heart is willing to receive the Word of God and do whatever it takes to make that seed bear fruit in my life. That's the type of sheep that are in the true shepherd's fold. And there are benefits and consequences to all of this, of course. In verse 3, He says, to Him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. In the shepherd's fold, He knows us all personally. He has a personal vested interest in every single one of us. And He knows us. He knows every hair on our head. He knows everything that happens to us. He knows the sorrow in our heart when certain things happen to us in our lives. Wouldn't you want a shepherd that knows all those things and cares about those things and is ready to help you get through anything in your life? Verse 4, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. When you're a part of the true shepherd's fold, you have someone to lead you every step of the way, to lead you, to be an example for you. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Don't be weighed down by sin, but look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Look unto Him who suffered more than what you and I could only imagine. And Peter said it's because he entrusted himself to God that he was able to get through those things. And so we have a shepherd that was willing to sacrifice all and willing to be an example for us. In verse 9 of John chapter 10, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The difference between following the true shepherd or some imposter shepherd is a big difference. It's the difference between salvation and condemnation. If they come through me, they can be saved. But if for whatever reason we listen to an imposter shepherd, we're willing to believe anything else than what Jesus has said, we have chosen condemnation. We have chosen to forsake God. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so if we, for any reason, we may not say it outright like this, but because we don't want to believe this, we find some preacher or some church that believes what we want to believe, and so that's where we go. That's who we latch on to. We're not looking for Jesus. But Jesus said the difference is salvation and condemnation. If they come to me, they'll be saved, he said. Verses 12 through 13. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand, is not concerned about the sheep. To follow an imposter, you may like something that the imposter says, but that imposter doesn't think you're worth fighting for. There are plenty of people today. Anything that you want to believe, you can find somebody that will teach it. But you're not going to find anybody that's willing to give up as much as Jesus gave up for you. And you're not going to be able to find anyone that has the reward that Christ has to offer for you. Verse 27 of John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. To follow the true shepherd is to follow someone who gave all for you and offers you what no other can offer you. There are benefits and consequences to choosing Jesus or someone or something else. In verse 39 of John chapter 10, the Bible reads, therefore they were seeking again to seize him. And he eluded their grasp, and he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. Many came to him and were saying, while John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true. Many believed in him there. There will always be some that follow the shepherd and some that reject him and discourage others from accepting him. But what's the important thing? What's the important thing we need to get out of this sermon? Listen to verses 31 to 38. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Jesus answered them, has it not been written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? Verse 37, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. What was the problem for these? What did he say to the Pharisees back in John 9? He said, you say you see. You say you know. You know it all already. If you know it all, you're not blind, and there's nothing I have to offer for you. And these people, they're ready to stone him because they know he can't be the Son of God. He can't be the way to God because it doesn't coincide with what I've always thought, with what my parents taught me, with this, with that. The important thing is that we're listening for what God has to say. We're listening. We want to eat what He has to feed us, what the shepherd has to feed us. And anything else, a stranger, they simply will not follow. And then I won't be lost. I won't be confused like they were. I won't be ready to stone the Son of God. I won't be ready to leave the true church. I won't be ready to believe false doctrine, because my one goal in life is to follow the shepherd wherever he leads me. And that's what he wanted to teach the blind man, and I believe that's what he was trying to teach in John chapter 10. If you're ready to follow Jesus this morning, you can do that. Remember, he said, those who come through me will be saved. Only through me can you come to the Father. And the Bible tells us over and over again, salvation is in Jesus Christ. Those who die in Christ are restored to life on the last day. How do I get in Christ? Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, baptized into Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. I am baptized, I am buried into Jesus Christ. Will you come to Jesus? Will you come to God this morning through our Lord and Savior, through the Good Shepherd, as we sing this song?